Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NZME's half year 2018 results briefing. Today's call is being recorded. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session for investors and analysts. I would now like to hand over to NZME's CEO, Michael Boggs, and NZME's interim CFO, Sarah Judkins, who will run through the results presentation released to the market earlier this morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning, I'm Michael Boggs, the CEO of NZME, and with me today in Auckland is our acting CFO, Sarah Judkins. Thank you for joining us today for the NZME half year 2018 results briefing. Looking at today's agenda on slide 3, first up I'll provide an overview of the financial results and the performance of our operations, which we think we're doing pretty well in what remains a challenging advertising market. I'll update you on the positive progress of our initiatives for growing new revenue streams, and Sarah will then take you through the financials before I wrap up and hand over to you for questions. Before we get to the results, I want to touch on NZME's brand assets, our model, and our unique offering to our customers on slide 4. At the end of the day, we're in the business of growing audiences, and our reach is therefore a key driver of value in the business. In these terms, we are very much a New Zealand industry leader. NZME reaches 3.3 million Kiwis, or almost 80% of all New Zealanders. Our team of journalists and talent works every minute, every hour, and every day to create quality content that resonates with this audience. As the voice of New Zealand, NZME has positioned itself as a connector of people, a teller of truth, and a force for good for all New Zealanders. I'm now moving to our financial results on slide 5. The first half saw ongoing pressure in advertising markets, slowing efficiency gains and increased expenditure on growth. We were pleased, given these difficult markets, to keep our first half trading revenue within 3% of the same period last year. This reflects a slowing rate of decline, supported by ongoing market share gains and continued strong growth in digital revenue. While we're broadly satisfied with our revenue performance, our earnings outcomes were impacted by a number of factors. This was partly due to our deliberate strategy to increase our costs in very specific areas to pursue medium-term growth. Behind the headline figures, there remains good news to report about both our progress on growth and the performance of the underlying business in a difficult market. Without our growth initiatives, the 18% decline in our trading EBITDA and 53% decline in the statutory NPAT would have been considerably smaller. But these investments are integral to achieving our medium-term goal of returning NZME to growth. I'm pleased to report the board has declared a fully imputed half-year dividend of 2 cents per share. The reduced half-year dividend in part reflects our growth investment, but it remains consistent with our policy of dividends of 60 to 80% of underlying net profit. Slide 6 shows, firstly, that our underlying business continues to perform well in the face of quite challenging advertising markets. And secondly, that we've made highly encouraging progress on our growth initiatives. Our leading audience, brands, and industry relationships provide a tremendous opportunity to establish new revenue streams in support of our objective to become a growth business in the medium term. To realise this opportunity, we launched 3 digital classified portals in the first half. It's still early days for these portals, and it will take time for revenue to develop, but we are encouraged by both our operational progress and audience growth so far. These initiatives increased our operating costs by $3.1 million, predominantly in the areas of people, marketing, data, and technology licensing. Excluding this expenditure, our trading EBITDA declined 7% in the first half of 2018 versus the first half of 2017, and operating costs were 2%, or $3.4 million lower than the first half of last year. We were able to reduce costs and gain market share in the underlying business, reflecting the hard work and dedication of our people. On slide 7, I'm pleased to report that we've made significant progress on the strategy and operational priorities during the first half. We achieved strong brand audience growth in the New Zealand Herald, with a 10% growth in the weekly brand audience and an 8.5% increase in engagement on nzherald.co.nz, measured by the average site duration. It's also really exciting to see strong audience growth in the new digital classified portals. More on that shortly. A reminder that our medium-term goal is for digital revenue growth to offset declining print advertising revenue. Advertising markets have been impacted by softening business confidence, and despite our share of the market growing, advertising revenue remains under pressure. On the cost side, we delivered a further $3.4 million reduction in underlying costs in the first half, with further savings expected in the second half. Developing our people and talent is very important to us. In the first half of this year, we launched two new primetime shows, the Bree and Clint Drive Show on ZM and the Jason Burney Breakfast Show on Coast. We also continue to build the profile of our journalists ahead of the launch of paid content. We are on track to have paid subscription capability on nzherald.co.nz by the end of the year, and I'll talk further on this a bit later. I'm pleased to report the appointment of Barbara Chapman and Suthan Turner as independent directors during the half, and this has brought the board renewal process to conclusion. The board now has five directors with a strong mix of experience and skills that will support the development and implementation of our strategy. Initial reception and engagement across our three new classified platforms, OneRoof, Driven and Udo, has been positive, but it's still early days. Our final priority has been the merger with Stuff Limited. The appeal was heard in the Court of Appeal in June of this year, and we anticipate a judgment in the second half of the year. Let's now move on to our channel results. Slide 9 illustrates that we continue to make market share gains. Our print advertising revenue was down 8% year on year in the first half of 2018. This compares favourably with Stuff's print advertising revenue decline of 20%. Stuff's circulation revenue for print declined by 8% year-on-year for the first half of 2018. However, our print circulation revenue declined only 4% over the same period, a really strong result. Our radio agency revenue was flat for the first half of the year, in line with the market agency revenue for the half. The most recent digital market advertising spend report for the first quarter of this year shows that our year-on-year digital display revenue growth of 20% was well above the market growth of 13%. On slide 10, print advertising revenue continues to decline, although the rate of decline has slowed since 2017. We're also pleased with the continued growth in readership and audience. The strength of our print brands were recognised at the 2018 Voyager Media Awards, with the Weekend Herald picking up Newspaper of the Year and Best Weekly Newspaper. Circulation revenue has stabilised, with the decline in volume largely being offset by increases in yield. We implemented a cover price increase across all of our titles on the 1st of July 2018. Other print revenue relates to print and distribution services we provide to third parties, and this continues to be impacted by volume reductions among non-NZME mastheads. The Herald remains our most valuable asset, and we are working hard to continue to grow audience to further enhance its value. The first chart on slide 11 shows that the New Zealand Herald's readership has grown significantly over the past year. This momentum in readership is encouraging, as print still contributes 56% of our revenue. Our subscriber base is strong, and the daily brand audience of the New Zealand Herald across print and digital passed 1 million in late 2017 and continues to track upwards. We are pleased with these results and our success in retaining our print revenues. On slide 12, our overall radio and experiential revenue declined 3% in the first half, an improvement on the 5% decline in 2017. Momentum is improving, and our focus for the second half will be on continuing the positive momentum in radio revenue. While agency revenue was flat for the half, recent months have seen direct revenues consistently return to growth, with agency revenues negatively impacted by the softness seen across the total advertising market. On the content side, we continue to work to ensure we have the best offer in the market to inform, entertain, and attract radio audiences. We've made a number of talent enhancements in the first half of 2018, and these have supported this objective, and we anticipate the benefits will emerge over the next 12 to 18 months. Our share of audience was down slightly off historical peaks in the 18 to 54-year-old major markets audience. There are ebbs and flows in radio surveys, but we are confident that the medium-term trends are positive as we look to return radio revenue to growth. Newstalk ZB remains the number one radio station in New Zealand, winning a number of awards at the 2018 Radio Awards. Coast was again the number one music station for all people over 40, and ZM is the number one station for females aged 18 to 39. On the digital radio side, iHeartRadio grew its registered users by 24% over the past year to more than 782,000, and average monthly streams grew 159% year-on-year to 18.2 million. Slide 13 shows an advertisement for our newly launched Brian Clint Drive show on ZM. This newly launched show has started well. Turning to digital, we're pleased with digital revenue growth of 17% year-on-year. Digital advertising revenue grew across all products, outperforming the market. The Washington Post ARC software has enabled improved audience analytics and enhanced content management by creating a user-centric experience to grow and engage our audiences. Mobile, video, and programmatic advertising were key digital revenue drivers, with native video streams growing 6% year-on-year across all sites to more than 2 million views per week. NewZealandHerald.co.nz continues to attract more than 3.8 million unique browsers per month, with the mobile audience comprising almost 75% of the total audience. That's up from 60% last year. GrabOne, or e-commerce revenue, declined 8% year-on-year, an improvement from a decline of 18% in 2017. We anticipate revenues will stabilise, driven by improved traffic and deal relevancy targeting. I'd now like to turn to our digital classifieds portals launched during the half and share some exciting progress. Slide 15 shows a high-level summary of our strategy. A reminder that our intention over the medium term is to create market-leading platforms and experiences in property, automotive, and employment. Our well-established relationships in these verticals and our understanding of the industry dynamics, combined with our leading New Zealand audience and content capabilities across text, video, and audio, allows us to more rapidly build product awareness and traffic for the new sites. We're not just about emulating existing online offers. Each of the new sites provides an innovative user experience and a proposition that aims to evolve the market and consumer behaviour. Revenue from these businesses, as with any startup, will be seen gradually over time and it will lag costs. While we see the medium-term opportunity for these platforms as appealing, the market is competitive and our financial expectations in the initial phase of operation remain modest. In March, we launched our online property platform, OneRoof. I'm excited that we already have approximately 50% of all for sale listings on the platform, with three out of the top five major national real estate agencies on board already. I can also tell you that we have just signed a fourth, which takes us to approximately 60% of overall market listings from September. We are targeting 75% of market listings on the portal by December 2018. Our audience growth has been significant and reflects the value of our New Zealand audience reach. We now have more weekly unique browsers than homes.co.nz and are tracking at approximately 65% of realestate.co.nz's audience. As with all of our digital classifieds businesses, we are focused on adding listings, generating strong audience growth and engagement, and with time, translating these into revenue. Revenue opportunities for OneRoof include premium listings, branded content, sponsorship opportunities, bundled cross-platform listings, including Herald Homes features, subscriptions, and agent profiles. Our OneRoof platform has benefited from strong co-branding with Herald Homes and a robust marketing campaign. It contains several unique features and search functionality, enabling buyers to tailor their search according to the criteria that are important to them, for example, school zone, commute time, or age of the property. Turning now to slide 18, we relaunched our motoring classified website Driven in the first quarter of this year, and will add unique tools for buyers and sellers in the second half. The site utilizes video and native content with the aim of becoming the only place you need to go for everything motoring. We currently have approximately 60% of all dealer listings in New Zealand. Our Driven audience has increased from 6% of the Trade Me Motors audience to almost 20%. The power of our Herald online audience is demonstrated in the weekly unique browser data for Driven, which shows a peak in March following a motoring article being featured near the top of the Herald website. As with OneRoof, we're anticipating revenue will lag our listings and audience. Driven's revenue opportunities include sponsored content, sponsorships, and listing fees. Our employment listing website Udo was also launched in the first quarter of this year and has already achieved 33% of the total job market listings. It can take longer to onboard new job advertisers, but we continue to make good progress and plan another big push for listings in the current half. Through NZME's growing national audience, Udo is uniquely placed to target both the active and passive employment market. Udo is a hub of news, tips, advice, trends and insights, supported by our strong content capabilities, and it equips job seekers for the age of job evolution and disruption. For employers, Udo allows businesses to showcase their values, culture and career opportunities via NZME's unique multi-platform media network. Our audience growth has been significant and is a key feature of our unique selling proposition, the ability to attract candidates that aren't actively searching for their next job opportunity. We're already tracking at nearly 30% of the Trade Me Jobs audience. Again, peaks in unique browsers are driven by referrals from our Herald online website. Revenue opportunities include branded content, targeted advertising, and listing fees. Turning to slide 19, in line with our strategy to leverage our audience reach and brand strength to grow new revenue streams, we intend to develop paid content capability for our digital mastheads in the second half of this year. In developing our paid content proposition, we've taken into consideration learnings from other global publishers. Over the past few years, audience willingness to pay for a digital content has increased significantly. The majority of news publishers now charge for digital content in some way, with freemium becoming the most preferred model. Under this model, day-to-day news and current affairs are provided free of charge, with more in-depth analysis and opinion pieces available on subscription. The key success factors of any paid content model include audience engagement and content quality. We continue to focus on investing in our premium and in-depth journalism and have shown strong improvement in audience engagement as a result, achieving an 8.5% increase in average site duration over the past 6 months. In 2017, we commenced our partnership with the Washington Post, a key feature of which was implementing their ARC software. This has enabled us to better tailor our content and enhance the personalization of our audience's Herald online experience. In the first half of this year, we have focused on data insights, targeting our content, developing our talent, and enhancing our premium content offering to build engagement. Over the second half of this year, we intend to expand our registered audience and implement the technology to enable charging customers for local premium content as well as global syndicated content. Over the coming weeks, our Herald online audience will be afforded the opportunity to register details in a three-stage registration process as outlined on the top left-hand corner of slide 20. This will enable them to tailor email newsletters to their interests and will also assist with the future curation of content on their personalised Herald online pages. I'll now hand over to Sarah to cover our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you to those joining us on the call today. Let's now look at our trading result on slide 22. We believe these trading measures provide more useful information to shareholders in assessing the performance of NZME. A full reconciliation of these trading measures back to our statutory result is available in the supplementary slides to this presentation. The trading result, as presented here, is consistent with the presentation of the 2017 results. However, we have adopted IFRS 15, the revenue recognition standard, in our first half results, and these adjustments are reflected in the statutory accounts as are reflected in the supplementary slides. These adjustments are EBITDA neutral. While we are working to return total revenue to growth in the medium term, we continue to experience headwinds in some of our traditional advertising markets. Therefore, we are pleased to limit the overall decline in revenue to just 3% as compared to the first half of 17. This is an improvement on the 4% revenue decline experienced in 2017. Other income primarily relates to the provision of back office services to third parties, and this was up 13% on last year. We have reinvested the cost savings achieved in our core business in the first half into the new digital classified businesses. This has contributed to an 18% decline in trading EBITDA to $23.2 million. Excluding the impact of digital classifieds, trading EBITDA would have been down 7%. Net profit after tax and earnings per share also declined on the first half of last year, reflecting the investment in digital classifieds. The board has declared a fully imputed first half dividend of 2 cents per share. The dividend will be paid on the 26th of October 2018, and a supplementary dividend will be paid to qualifying non-tax resident shareholders. Turning to slide 23, our continued focus on efficiency has again underpinned a strong cost management. Underlying costs were down $3.4 million, or 2% on last year, reflecting the ongoing impact of cost efficiency programs. Print and distribution costs are 9% lower due to reduced print volumes and efficiency benefits from our closed-loop colour registration upgrade. Content costs have increased principally due to increased investment in the production of video content. In the first half, we invested $3.1 million in launching the three digital classified platforms. These costs were mainly in the areas of people, marketing, data and software licensing. We anticipate these costs to form part of our ongoing trading result. Cost efficiency continues to be a priority in 2018, which Michael will discuss later in this briefing. There were a small number of exceptional items, mainly comprising redundancies and one-off project costs. These costs appear in the statutory results, but are excluded from our trading results. Turning to slide 24, the balance sheet remains strong with net debt of $106 million, stable on a year ago. Our lower payables balance for June 2018 reflects reduced print costs, the timing of incentive payments, and our migration to software as a service. The movement in net working capital has been driven predominantly by the timing of tax payments, and we anticipate working capital will return to more normal levels by the end of the year. Our bank facilities of $160 million will expire on the 1st of January 2020. The board has appointed an external advisor to provide advice on capital management, the dividend policy, and to assist us with refinancing these debt facilities. We anticipate coming back to the market with an update once we have completed this review. The balance sheet remains strong, with 12-month trading EBITDA to interest cover of 14.5 times and net debt to 12-month trading EBITDA of 1.7 times. Turning to slide 25, our operating cash flow for the first half of 2018 has been applied to tax payments, dividends and capital expenditure. Capital expenditure for the first half of 2018 was in line with our budget, and we expect our full year capital expenditure to remain consistent with prior years at around $15 million. Other key cash flow items are broadly consistent with the same period last year, with the exception of tax, which was higher in 2018 due to the timing of our 2017 tax payments. Michael will now discuss outlook and strategy.
Thank you, Sarah. Slide 26 summarises our outlook for the second half of the year. As previously noted, in the first half of this year, advertising revenue declined 4% on the same period last year. Advertising bookings for the third quarter are consistent with the first half result, down 4% year on year. However, agency advertising spend remains challenged, and softening economic conditions have the potential to weaken or delay advertising revenue in the second half of 2018. NZME continues to increase or maintain its share of the addressable NZ advertising market. The benefit of cost initiatives implemented in the first half of 2018 are expected to be reflected in the second half, although the rate of cost reduction is slowing and is not expected to be sufficient to offset softening advertising revenue in the underlying business. In addition, we will continue to invest in our digital classifieds to create future revenue and shareholder value. These businesses will incur ongoing business-as-usual costs going forward. Full-year EBITDA will reflect the underlying business decline and investment in these digital classifieds. On slide 27, we outline our priorities for the second half of 2018. Our strategic plan is based around the three-horizon model. It focuses on optimising our existing business while launching new ventures to take advantage of our existing audience and customer relationships and identifying new business models that address unmet customer needs. We continue to expand our premium Herald content to build audience engagement. Our aim of returning overall advertising revenue to growth is being challenged in the current market environment, but we will continue to focus on the integrated audience sell across all of our channels to maximise the revenue opportunities. In line with our effective cost and capital management priority, the board has engaged an external advisor to review our capital structure and refinance our bank facilities. The second half will see continued development of the profile of our journalist team ahead of the launch of paid content, continuing investment in listings and audience growth on OneRoof, Driven and Udo, and continued focus on cost out and business restructuring. We await the judgment from the Court of Appeal regarding the Stuff merger and will evaluate the landscape once the outcome of our appeal is known. To summarise today's presentation, in the first half of 2018, we've done well to largely maintain our revenues despite continuing headwinds. Our underlying business is robust, and our lower earnings reflect our commitment to growing new revenue streams. Whilst it's still early days, our digital classified businesses are tracking well in terms of listings and audience growth, confirming the opportunity, but with revenue to develop over time. Given our market-leading brands and audience reach, great people, and our unique integrated offering, we are well placed to optimise returns from our existing assets, as well as look beyond advertising to reimagine revenue models that address unmet customer needs. Thank you again to the entire NZME team for your dedication and your hard work, and to our shareholders for your continued support. To those on the call, thank you for your time today. We look forward to seeing many of you over the next week on our Results Roadshow. Sarah and I would now be very happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ari Decker from First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, morning, Michael, Sarah. First question just on the investment in digital. In terms of second half 18 investment, just some visibility on whether the $3 million, how we should sort of interpret that. Obviously, you launched sort of during the period, but just keen to understand any impact initial startup had on making that hire, and also any comment on your approach to capitalisation and how that might influence those costs.
Hi, Aria. Yeah, thanks for that call. I guess consistent with what we said at the annual shareholders meeting, we do expect to invest about $6 million of net OPEX into the businesses this year. We've obviously done 3.1 in the first half. We're really pleased with the progress, and so we continue to expect to do that. Having said that, if we saw an increased opportunity, we may invest more, but we have no plans to do that at this stage.
Capitalisation, yeah.
I mean, just from a capitalisation perspective, as Sarah mentioned, our guidance is still $15 million as a total business, and, we've been, pretty consistent over the last year or so that about a third of that is going into what we call new revenue initiative development, and these are obviously key components of that.
Okay. Just with regards, increasing the investment or otherwise, obviously you're in the early stages here. The level of investment, isn't immaterial. Cumulatively it could grow quite quickly. How far forward has the board approved the funding of this opportunity? Is there like a 3-year plan that you're investing to, or are you sort of doing it sort of a few months at a time? And yeah, what are the sort of things that, if it is a longer term commitment, what are some of the milestones that kind of need to be hit to before it would be reviewed?
Yeah, so probably the first thing is we look at all these investments on requiring a very short-term payback. And so, we look at all of the investments we make in the business at 2 to 3 year paybacks is really where we focus. So, that's a good starting point for making sure that we're getting returns in those timeframes. And so effectively the board is very focused on us getting early wins, and the milestones we have are around, firstly, obviously, listing, secondly, audience, and then third, driving the revenue. And so, I can give you absolute comfort that there's no guarantees we're off spending for the next 3 years if the appropriate milestones of those three factors aren't being hit. So, we're investing based on performance.
Sure. But given that, and it kind of is the last question on this particular track, revenue will need to start coming reasonably early to sort of achieve that sort of payback time frame. When are you sort of, and internally, what are you hoping to sort of see, like, revenue start to come from, OneRoof and the other classifieds in the first half of 19?
Absolutely, to be clear, we are already seeing revenue come through. Mm. Hmm. But, we'd expect it to be bigger, obviously, in the first half of 19. So, we're pleased with what we're seeing.
Sure. Just in terms of the pay gate, one thing I just wanted to clarify, and you made the point of getting pay gate ready for the year end, and that's on track. Similar sort of question, in terms of signing off on implementation and go, has that been done? I mean, is this getting ready and then going, or is that still a decision that will ultimately be reviewed as you get through, a few more of the hurdles and the balance of this half?
Yeah, so probably the first thing is if you were to go into nzherald.co.nz or into your app, you will see a new registration process has commenced actually from yesterday. And that allows you to have, firstly, a much better login experience and various ways you can come in and out of that experience, and including some customization around email newsletters as a starter. But we absolutely have the development plan, you know, committed. You know, that was the first real visible milestone, going live yesterday, and you'll see more of that over the rest of the year. We're already incurring those costs within what we've already indicated, and you know, we're confident that, you know, that's going to be a positive for us. We don't see significant, you know, new operating investment having to be implemented as part of that. We have the audience, and it's a matter of converting what we have to begin to pay.
Yes, yeah, so what you're saying is, yeah, I wasn't so much asking about the cost and that being committed, but is there a commitment to implement Paygate, you know, at a date and charging and putting content behind it, or do you still need to get through those, you know, the registration process and a few of the other implementation things and still reserve the call on whether you go ahead or not?
Oh, no, there is an absolute commitment, and you will see it in the market in this half.
Great. Okay. A couple of just easier ones and quick ones now. Just in terms of year-end debt, do you expect that to be higher than the $90 million at FY17? I mean, obviously, there was a tax timing issue, and the business has a significant second-half weighting in its earnings. The debt's the same as it was 12 months ago. Do you see it being the same or higher or lower at FY18 than it was at year-end 17?
Hey, Ari, it's Sarah. Look, you can obviously, you can see from the cash flow statement that we've included in the investor preso that the key difference that we've had in H1 has obviously been the timing of tax payments. And so we anticipate that being the main change going forward for the cash flow forecast for the second half of the year as well. So probably to see that reflected.
So you'd hope to see debt lower than at FY17, lower than $90 million?
No, because of the impact of the tax payments.
Oh, okay.
Higher tax payments in this year, so that will impact
the rest of our... that's clear. Yep, okay, thank you. Abnormals for FY18, is there much anticipated or were a lot of those restructuring initiatives implemented in first half 18 and like we don't need to sort of annualise the first half 18 rate on significant items?
I will anticipate that we are still undergoing restructuring, which will continue to have some reflection in the second half of 18 as well as what we're seeing in the first half.
And then last question, just on dividend policy, and this is just a clarification one because I think you've clearly linked the payout ratio to NPAT ex exceptionals, but including the ex classifieds investment. Is that the intention? It just wasn't clear, Michael, when you were going through the presentation. Is it the intention that the normalised NPAT will be ex exceptionals, but you will pay net of the classifieds investment?
So yeah, to your point there, we've paid within the policy, as you say, of 60 to 80% of the underlying, which excludes the exceptionals. But as you noted as well, we have appointed an external advisor to help one on overall capital management, refinancing of debt and dividend policy, and we'll come back to the market on that when that's completed.
Yeah, but the classifieds investment in the second half will be an impost against the profit that you pay the 70% on?
Absolutely, unless there's some change to policy.
I understand. No, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Roger Coleman at CCZ Equities Proprietary Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Michael and team. I just got some follow-on questions to the previous ones. On the $5.2 million addition to work in progress, which presumes a capitalisation, is there any more to come in the second half to be added to the balance sheet
that
capitalisation?
Hey, Roger, it's Sarah. Yes,
Sarah.
We anticipate spending CapEx this year of of around about $15 million, which is similar to what we have done in previous years. So we've incurred $7 million of that in the first half. So we anticipate more CapEx going to work in progress across the second half. Yes.
Yes, but in terms of the capitalisation of, in the provisions, is there anything related to cap? I'm just trying to extract what is actually capitalised of the classified startup. Is there any capitalisation of classified startups?
Yes, there is ongoing development on those classified sites. So the 3.1 is operating cost, but there is, has capital.
Yes. And how much was the capital capitalisation in the classifieds?
So what we've said in the past in relation to the $15 million that we spend on an annual basis is about $5 million.
Yes.
To sort of our standard stay in business, $5 million on digital projects, and around $5 million on new projects. So the new projects.
Right. So if I divide that in the, do I divide that in the two for 2.5 first half and 2.5 second half expectation?
Roughly, yes.
Or is it front-loaded into this half that we've just completed?
So there has been some additional costs incurred, obviously, in relation to the launch of those platforms, but there are still ongoing development to enhance and further enhancements which are being put onto those sites.
Right. And then in respect of these capitalised amounts in the start-up of the classified businesses, are they tax-sheltered? Can you get a tax deduction immediately on them?
Well, the $3 million has a tax...
No, the capitalised amounts.
Once we move them out of work in progress and complete them, then yes, they will go to depreciation. We'll start to amortise them. We will have tax sheltering of that.
You don't get 100%... They're not considered an immediate 100% expense by the tax department?
No, they're not, no.
Okay, Beaut. In respect to the revenues, Michael, on the digital classifieds, in the first half, has it been significant? What's the offset? Insignificant? $100,000, $200,000 roughly? Give us an idea of the jaws that we're facing.
Yes, indeed. So, it's small numbers, like you said, but those dollars are coming in the last month or two of the year. So we are seeing it, a run rate is beginning to build, and, we'll see more revenue, obviously, in the second half based on that.
Right, so if we take the $3.1 million cost base, is it going to be roughly duplicated in the second half?
That's correct.
Right, okay. And the run rate currently per month, obviously we're starting with zero, we can't even talk percentages, but what sort of offset do you expect over the full calendar year from revenues to this $6 million cost run rate?
It's probably not something I'd want to go on yet. Our focus,
yes,
obviously, is the listings, which we think we're making good progress on. We're really pleased with what we're getting on audience, and we're pleased with the early signs on revenue, and expect to be able to report, some solid revenue by the end of the year, but still a drag, obviously, on the business.
Right, and just moving on to that last real estate agent, the fifth one, what's his problem?
Fundamentally, it's for us to actually just continue to work with the individual branches. We're seeing those coming on, and we'd like to create the opportunity to bring them all on.
Right, so that's the agency market, and what about the private for sale market, which seems to be pretty strong in New Zealand compared with the 3% in Australia? How are you going in penetration there?
That's not at all a focus from us. A tougher market to access and get money out. We're really focused on that agency market to bring the bulk listings and then being able to monetise.
Right. Geographically, I look at Auckland. You've got to, in Greater Auckland, not Greater Auckland, in City of Auckland, you've got to 70-odd% of the Trade Me's inventory in that market.
Mm.
Is that an indicator that you're lagging well behind elsewhere in New Zealand, and that's the hardest thing to do?
I think it really is the actual agents that have come on first are stronger in the Auckland market, and in fact, we're bringing on that fourth one we have, again, will be very strong from Auckland, so we'll be very high penetration Auckland. Around the rest of the country, there are a number of smaller brands, but we're having absolute support and commitment from them and winning well. It's just, you know, it's just not flicking one switch and all the listings turn up. So it just takes a little bit longer to get them.
Right. Just moving on, if it's okay, just on the just on the page which counts. Sarah, the 17% increase in digital revenues, right, that was mentioned in this presentation, I'm just going to try to reconcile it with 2.11, where there's no increase in the revenues. It's $25 million in 2017 and 25 again in 2018. Could you show me where the, tell me where the 17% increase comes from in the way you split up those figures?
Are you looking at our investor presentation or the actual
statement? No, I've been notified in the investor presentation ahead for 2.1, and 2.1 shows no growth at all year on year, and you've got 17% in digital. It's a bit confusing, so I might take that with you offline, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, because there's no change. So just trying to see where the 17% came from, right? And then lastly, sorry? So, Michael, you were going to say something.
Well, I said, okay, yeah, we'll follow back up with you on that one.
Yeah, okay, Beard. And just on the paywall, right? I mean, standard paywalls bring you about $300 a year in Australia. What percentage of your circulation do you expect to take up the paywall in 2 to 3 years' time?
So I think if we look to your market there in Australia, you see 4 to 6% of audience has been converting, and so I think that's a good benchmark for us early on to be targeting, a 4 to 6% of the 2 million monthly audience we have come to our sites.
Well, if you start working on that, you end up with about 120,000 subs a year. That's $36 million a year worth of revenue. That's an aggressive target.
That's the benchmark that's been set in Australia for us. And, you know, it's not going to turn up day one, but it's absolutely a focus for us. And, you know, I would expect penetration around the world will continue to increase from those levels.
Well, your average session duration looks excellent to convert that. I agree with that. Just on the last thing in respect to the New Zealand market, Australia's agency market was up 4.9% to June. What's the New Zealand agency market doing in media overall?
So it's been pretty tough in recent times, and in fact if you were to go to SMI data overall, you would see May was down 7%. June was down 14%, and July interim data from SMI is currently showing negative as well. So I think that just comes back to the economic environment and the business confidence that we're seeing in New Zealand at the moment. What we're hearing, though, is, you know, large customers have held off a bit, and but they're saving themselves up for spending later this year. But, you know, those are concerning trends from the agency perspective in recent months.
Right, those are SMI data you quoted me, was it?
That's right.
Yep, okay, Beard. And cost out in the second half, what you did, $3.4 million in the first half. What do you expect in the second half for cost out?
Yeah, we expect to continue that plus some.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, many thanks, and all the best with the trying to stretch the dividend and earnings trend.
Interest.
That's it for me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Guy Hallwright from Woodward Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, Guy.
I just wondered if you could maybe split out the digital classified cost at $3.1 million in the half. You've kind of put as a separate line item down the bottom, and you've indicated that it comes from mainly three areas. Are you able to give us a better split than that, or is it sort of roughly a third in each of those areas? It just makes it easier to sort of forecast costs going forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a good assumption is a third in each of those, and you wouldn't go too far wrong with that.
Okay. All right. with the Herald readership numbers look pretty good. There's been a lot of free promotions around Auckland. Is that having an impact on that? What's sort of behind the rise there?
I think you'll find actually the number of free promotions is actually down from the past. I think what's happening actually is, you know, as prices have increased over time, people share the paper more. There's absolutely strong readership in individual magazines within each of those publications, and we're getting strong support for what we're producing, which is pleasing.
Okay, good. And also, just to get back to what we've had questions on already, which is the revenue models for the digital classified area. I'm assuming that the early stage revenues you're getting at the moment is basically advertising. But can you give us some idea of the time frame on which you're going to try for listing fees in those areas?
No, it isn't just advertising. We are seeing listing fees, and you know the one I'll focus on again is OneRoof, which is we put the most information there on. What is happening is because we have a high percentage of the listings, we're seeing a really strong audience growth. We are absolutely having agencies saying we can see inquiry coming. We'd like to promote our listings better. We'd actually like to sponsor. We'd like to feature our own agents individually. And we'd actually like to bundle up with print overall as well. So strong income and revenue opportunities right across the board.
Okay. And the other sites, a bit further down the track?
Yes, indeed. So Driven is substantially sponsorship and advertising, and the same with Udo. And again, moving those to become more of a freemium model where it's for higher promotion, lead generation from a charging model perspective.
Okay. And any idea of the time frame in which you're going to move in that direction?
You'll see that later this year.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.